Welcome back to My Radio at StanPelkey.com.
Thanks for tuning in.
This is Chip Clarkson here with Maddie Pelkey, and we're your hosts for today's ninth podcast featuring readings from Stan Pelkey's original novel, Project Earth, Dawn of Defiance. Today's program begins with Interlude 2 and then continues with the first part of Chapter 5.
Please check back regularly for more episodes, including a special upcoming bonus podcast featuring original music from the first four chapters.
Alert, frame 2.34-P9. Alert, frame 2.34-P9. Alert, frame 2.34-P9.
Acknowledged report.
Alert, reading information drift across territorial boundary. Alert, reading information drift across territorial boundary. Alert, reading information drift across territorial boundary.
Acknowledged. Information drift across territorial boundary. Analyzing. Summary analysis. System integrity reduced. Required action. Neutralization of source per code 15A-3X771. Prepare action. Code 15A-3X771.
Hold. Order V3. Priority signal. Acknowledge.
Acknowledged.
Hold. Wait for alternative instructions. Order
V3,
priority signal, acknowledge.
Acknowledged.
Alert, frame 2.34-P9. Alert, frame 2.34-P9. Alert, frame 2.34-P9.
Hold, delete reference frame 2.34-P9. Order V3, priority signal, acknowledge.
Acknowledged. Alert, frame 2.34-P9. 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 Alert.
Chapter 5, The Surprise at Califran. Rendra wound her way through the passageway, stepping carefully to avoid stomping on tender toes. At 25, she was the oldest member, by far, of the experimental scientific work crew. Her junior charges ranged in age from 7 to 21. Though young, they were among the most intelligent and accomplished engineers, experimental materials scientists, and quantum computing theorists the consortium had ever bred. It was rumored that one of the tiniest scientists on her team, the 8-year-old Alyema, a slight girl with longish golden hair, a sweet smile, and sparkling eyes, had registered as the most advanced, organic-only, human computational machine ever spawned. She was sitting cross-legged on the sparkling, clean, transparent floorway, leaning against Keldy, a slightly chubby boy 2 or 3 years older than she, as they shared a compu screen. Alyema glanced up.
Rendra!
Commander, the young woman said, correcting her.
Yes, Commander, sorry. Commander Rendra. Keldy has been analyzing an unexpected energy signature for the last hour.
Source? Unidentified, Keldy replied without looking up. Rendra admired and genuinely liked Alyema, but she had not yet connected with Keldy and doubted she would before their mission was completed. Rendra found his curt manner bordering on arrogance. He was certainly bright, indeed exceptionally so, but no more so than were thousands of others like him, and he was no Alyema, whose brilliance was unprecedented, but who also possessed a sweet disposition that was almost equally unusual.
Unidentified or unidentifiable? Rendra pressed impatiently.
Unidentified at present, Keldy replied.
Sir,
Alyema corrected, nudging him in the side. Keldy finally looked up and made eye contact.
Sir, he said.
Rendra could never tell if that smile of his, in those rare moments he actually flashed it, such as this, was meant warmly or sarcastically.
It's yet to be seen if I can eventually identify it, he continued. But at present you are certain it is not one of ours?
Keldy looked at Alyema. She nodded, then gently touched his hand.
Our analysis, sir, can confirm that with certainty. It is unlike any signal or energy signature in current consortium databases. I've even extrapolated outward toward potential covert signals. There's little chance it is being emitted from technologies with which we are currently familiar.
Maybe we should delay today's trial,
Alyema offered softly.
Sir, Keldy corrected her with another smile.
Rendra raised an eyebrow.
Without significantly more data and a stronger set of conclusions, I cannot even consider breaking the communications blackout to make that suggestion to the central registry.
We just need another hour or two to finish, Keldy started.
No.
Commander, perhaps Keldy and I could stay unlinked during the trial so that we can keep scanning and analyzing,
Alyema suggested.
Absolutely not.
Rendra began to walk away, then turned and looked back at them. She began more calmly again.
Alyema, you know that we must have you, of all people, in the neuro network when today's tests begin. We require your computational intuition, but even if that were not so, the absence of 2 team members in the interface would alter test parameters and not provide a clear model of what could happen during the actual process tomorrow. I know,
Alyema whispered, looking down at her hands. And then she added,
Sir,
with a quick glance up at Rendra. She squeezed Keldy's hand and continued,
I think I'm just a little frightened. Of the networking? You've done it 8 times already. No, not of that. Of the signal.
Why? Alyema shook her head slowly and looked down at the ocean waters beneath her tiny feet.
I don't know. A feeling about the pattern. If it made more sense to me, I could give you the data and conclusion you need.
I need more than feeling. She doesn't have anything more than that, sir, Keldy said protectively. Rendra sighed. She could not afford to have Alyema distracted, and she really needed to work on moderating Keldy's attitude. If she did not, his next commander would have an even worse situation to deal with. Of course, she wondered, not for the first time, why Keldy's tendency towards such primitive, emotionally charged behaviors had not been engineered out of his genetic type.
Here's what I want you 2 to do. Take 15 minutes to assess whether or not a subroutine can be built to continue scanning and analyzing during the neuro networking. The subroutine cannot draw more than 0.07% of energy reserves.
Keldy smiled again.
Thank you, Commander. We can do that, and I'm already 83.4% certain it would have no discernible impact on the network and would draw off no more than 0.02% of our reserves.
We'll finish the coding and assessment in 4 minutes. Rendra nodded and finally offered them a warmer smile. Alyema's face now took on a more relaxed expression.
Thank you, Rendra. Sir,
Rendra finally turned again and continued her slow, methodical, and graceful feet-avoiding procession down the passageway. Beneath her own bare feet, sea creatures of various sizes, shapes, and colors spun and swept and swirled in the currents and underwater eddies of this deep canyon of the great Califran Sea. Given the depth at which this projection had been moored, the ocean should have been too dark for her to see anything out there. But in addition to being transparent and super strong, the bioalloy they were testing, the bioalloy from which this projection was being grown, was also engineered to faintly glow in the dark underwater. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw a large shape slip through the shadows at the very edge of the artificial illumination. "Leviathan's back for his daily snoop about." Rendra turned to see Yanfrey, who had just hurried up to her. "How many days has it been now?" she asked her second in command. Some days the giant, ugly shark stayed longer than others, but he had never emerged fully into the light. 27, Yanfrey replied matter-of-factly. "Report? Commander, we're ready to run the test on the neural network in preparation for tomorrow's controlled growth experiment." Yanfrey was nearly 21, with very short cropped black hair, a square jaw, and an angular nose. Tallish, slim, and muscular, he had been bred primarily for military purposes, and most of his training thus far had centered on athletics, martial arts, and dance. She had picked him for this mission from among six potential candidates. Several had had more command experience than Yanfrey, but he had bested three larger companions in demonstration bouts through sheer speed and what she recognized as a hunter's instinct for exploiting enemy weaknesses. To be absolutely honest, Rendra had also found him very attractive. In another environment, in another age, she might have shared openly her interest in him, but she was the commanding officer for the team, and she had to remain emotionally detached. It was unlikely she would ever be anything but Yanfrey's supervisor, given the assignments ahead and the projected length of this current deployment. The 18, 19, and 20-year-olds in her crew had already begun to pair up. Some of the most physically mature had even mixed and matched two or more times during the past 2 months. While there was no danger of unauthorized pregnancies, she still had to make certain that there were no violations of chain of command among the coupling pairs themselves. This had proven more difficult to accomplish than she had imagined. Her mentors in her command courses had repeatedly emphasized the significant leaps in social and technological evolution that had occurred during the past 2 centuries. Yet she could see that the pair bonding instincts still ran deep, and sometimes furiously so, much more so than her teachers had admitted. This was true even among these highly trained, highly conditioned, and carefully engineered children and youth. Perhaps that was a function of a world in which average life expectancy had fallen to 31. Despite her own attractions, yearnings, desires, even loneliness, Rendra had to set an example. The one place she bent the rules was in being too tender with the 7 and 8-year-olds when their fears and anxieties threatened to paralyze them. Here again, Elyema was a significant outlier. Perhaps her extraordinary mathematical mind and character enabled her to drive out fear, or perhaps her mind had already calculated all possible futures and had deduced it was pointless to worry, or at least to worry too much. In either case, Elyema had managed to do much to help maintain the morale and group cohesion of the younger members of the experimental work crew, first by winning over Keldy, then showing so much empathy and affection for the rest of the under-12s, and she never expressed any concerns openly to anyone, except to Keldy, and much more rarely to Rendra. "Lieutenant Yanfrey," she finally said, "prepare for Stage 3 neurointerface." "Aye, sir." He spun quickly and began to pass the word down the hallway. Tiny feet were pulled more closely to bodies as he hurried along giving orders. A soft voice, emanating from the transparent surfaces all around them, began a slow, methodical countdown. As they approached the final numbers of the countdown, the illuminating orbs embedded in the ceiling of the passageway dimmed. Precise calculations were now locked into the master computing and control systems. Data collectors and processors were spooled up. Each member of the team rose in his or her place and leaned with backs or shoulders against the walls. Rendra watched the telltale signs in their eyes and the shapes of their mouths as cyber circuits fired up and internal cranial wireless networks merged with the control systems and the wireless network embedded in the living alloy of the passageway itself. The lights dimmed further and began to pulse slowly. Rendra glanced down the hall to where Yanfrey had linked into the systems, his face now strangely peaceful, though the muscles in his shoulders and neck looked strained. Then she leaned into the environment and allowed the network in her skull to click to life. When Rendra emerged back into consciousness, internal cyber chronometers registered the passage of 3 hours, exactly as anticipated. Yanfrey had also returned to consciousness and was moving slowly down the passageway, checking on the other children as they began to pull away from the wall. He helped a few of them sit down. He even hugged one of the littlest ones who always seemed to have nightmares while in the neuro network. Rendra smiled ever so slightly, a warrior and a father figure, as second-in-command Yanfrey could afford to be a bit more forthcoming with his emotions than she could. She looked to her right toward the area where Elyema and Keldi and two or three other children were gathered around a friend, Saltira, who was lying on the floor of the passageway. They were taking it in turns to talk softly to her, trying to pull her mind back into the present world. Rendra was going to have to accept that Saltira was the weakest link in the team, a critically mistaken choice on her part. And there was the real risk that Rendra was going to lose Saltira in one of the future Neuralinks. Happy voices rising back to her left indicated that their personal equipment was returning to them, right on schedule. A small pack of miniature, cyber-enhanced dogs had drawn a large anti-grav pallet loaded with their bags, bedding, and equipment back into their midst. The dogs, the pallet, and the belongings, all non-essential during the test, had been sent back up the passageway in preparation for the day's most important event. Now they could all relax for several hours before it was time to sleep. Yanfrey began supervising the unloading of the pallet, while Keldi had finally managed to wake Saltira. Rendra took a moment to look back through the transparent wall beside her and into the dark water beyond. Leviathan was now nowhere to be seen. And with the shark gone, the watery world beyond had burst into more magnificent fish forms and fish colors than she had imagined possible before their mission began. She sighed deeply, then joined Yanfrey as the unloading continued. An hour later, the team had carefully reassembled their nightly camp. Three portable sonic showers were now standing far down the passageway, almost to the end of the current structure, along with three portable toilet units. Closer by, ultra-thin field mattresses had been laid out with military blankets and pillows. Personal bags were carefully tucked beside pillows or sat waiting on mattresses and blankets. The four team members in charge of meals that evening were working with the small, portable rehydrators and chemipacks. All was as it should be. On cue, the lights dimmed by 60% for evening functions. Meals were slowly distributed, and the team broke up into smaller clusters of friends or companions as the children and youth ate. A few pulled tiny musical instruments from their bags and offered a collective tune. Yanfrey, who always waited to be served last, gathered a few others together and danced a slow military festival piece to entertain several of the older children while they waited for their food. It was an ancient dance familiar to most, even to those like Rendra, who had had very little arts education. Its movements were meant to evoke some ancient battle whose details were now lost to the majority of the consortium's citizens in the mists of time and memory. Performed in the confines of that wondrous passage, however, Yanfrey's daily dances helped to build the team's cohesion and to shape the collective affective trajectory of the entire enterprise. The immediate emotional impact was palpable. As happened each night at this time, the voices of the team members softened in general contentment and peace. Rendra finally relaxed, sat down on her mattress, and watched her charges, her children. It had been a good day. All meals served, Yanfrey joined her. He was short of breath from the dance, but glowed with warmth and joy. "That was good," he said. "Kaliya is improving on that dance. She'll be able to lead it soon." Rendra smiled and nodded. "And then what? A poetry circle before evening meals?" "Maybe. Strong minds, strong bodies, strong souls." "Strong souls, what a quaint notion," she replied. "Perhaps. You can believe in biochemistry if you like. I'll continue to believe in souls," Yanfrey replied. "And what are you reading now?" she asked, changing the subject as Yanfrey pulled a tattered book from his bag and settled in to eat and read. Yanfrey was the only member of the team who owned any ancient paper texts. When he had pulled his first one from his bag 7 weeks earlier, it had created a stir among the youngest team members. "Poetry," he laughed. The evening meal completed, showers done, cleanup finished, everyone retreated to their own beds. The lights dimmed further. Here and there, some of the children continued to whisper together in the dark. A few sang old folk songs that predated the consortium's formation, but continued to be officially cultivated by the Ministry of Education. Rendra could just make out Keldi's voice in the distance. He might be arrogant and unruly at times, but even she recognized that he had a sweet alto voice. It reminded Rendra of a young boy who had grown up in her unit, who had sung beautifully, and who had died horrifically during a training exercise gone wrong. Beside her, Yanfrey was making peculiar motions with his mouth as he jotted notes in the margins of his paper book. Readers were such peculiar people at times. Elyema was suddenly beside her. "May I sit with you, Commander?" "Please. Our subroutine did run during the duration of the neural network, but the data is still inconclusive. What would you suggest?" Elyema sighed and shook her head. "Nothing. Feelings are not evidence." "But you're still frightened?" The little girl nodded. "I am, sir." Yanfrey looked up and smiled at her. "Why don't you and Keldi pull your mattresses over here for tonight? I'll keep an eye on you guys while you rest, and I'll even review the neural network metadata to make sure that there was nothing unusual related to your own personal linkages." Elyema smiled brightly at this suggestion and ran back to gather her things. "You're a natural leader, Yanfrey." "Thank you, sir. I don't always feel that way myself, but I decided months ago that if I were ever given the chance to serve on a team like this one, I was going to watch out for the little ones. In my head, I know that childhood is just a word now, not an objective phenomenon, not given the breeding and the training that has created the members of a team like this. But in my heart, I want to protect them, make them happy. It's a downright primitive attitude, I know, and I shouldn't admit it to you, but it's who you are," Rendra said, "despite engineering and conditioning." "Yes, or perhaps even because of engineering and conditioning. My mentors used to call it my radical unpredictability factor, but they would never admit to me whether it had been intentionally produced or was a truly radical factor. I do know that they thought it would either lead to my premature death or cause my projects to flourish. I expect that was why I was not terminated during training." Rendra laughed an almost cynical laugh. "Perhaps they realized that maintaining silence on the issue of intent was one way they could take credit in the end for success, or excuse their role in any possible failure." Yanfrey raised an eyebrow at that. "That's a fascinating, politically charged comment that one might credit to an unpredictability factor in your own makeup, sir." "Freedom in an age of design," Rendra said. "The artist's friend," Yanfrey replied with a chuckle. He handed her his book. "You should read some of this. You might at least find it enlightening as to the mental processes of our ancestors." Elyema and Keldi had returned and were setting up their mattresses and blankets to the left of Yanfrey. They were absolutely bursting with happiness when one of the cyber dogs wandered up and nuzzled them, then lay down protectively between Elyema and Keldi. "More radical unpredictability and primitive emotional responses," Yanfrey whispered to Rendra. "Perhaps some things run so deep that they simply cannot be engineered out of human beings." "That's heresy," she whispered back, all mirth now gone from her face and voice.
He winked at her. "So turn me over to the Inquisition, Commander." He turned his attention to the smaller children and did not see Rendra's complicated look of fascination and worry. Once children and dog were settled and snoozing, Yanfrey put his book away and pulled up a CompuScreen to begin his promised analysis of the metadata. "I have the first watch tonight, sir," he said to Rendra without looking over at her. She nodded and lay down. Gradually, all but the handful of security orb lights went dark. Night had finally come to the passageway in the sea. "Did you say something, Yanfrey?" Rendra asked. "No, sir." "Odd. I must have fallen asleep for a moment. I thought I heard you say something." "No, sir." "Okay. Good night." "Good night, sir." This was an original work of music and text by Stan Pelkey. Please note that any unauthorized broadcasting, public performance, copying, or re-recording of this program, its story, or its music is an infringement of copyright.